It's us.
Hi.
We're the podcasters.
It's us. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sam.
We're the Sibs. And you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs.
That's right. This is the podcast where a brother and a sister discuss two of their favorite things, Taylor Swift and cocktails.
Every episode, we will choose a song from Taylor Swift's 200-plus song catalog. We'll each pair a cocktail with that song, and then we will break down our favorite musical mixology moments. Hey, Sam, are we ready for it?
I think we are.
Welcome, Swiggies, new listeners, old listeners, medium-sized listeners. You are listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs. I don't know. You'd think that I would know how to do an intro, but you never know what's going to come out when we hit record.
How many times have we done this? What episode number is this, Rach?
Sam, we were listening to episode 71. Oh, 71.
I love how you always say we are listening to 71. We, as if
we are not listening.
We are recording.
So meta.
Those that are listening are listening. But we have been doing this podcast for not 71 times because there's a couple 0.5 episodes in there. So this is probably like our 73rd or 4th time we've done this. Gosh, maybe it's our 75th. That's kind of fun to think about. But yeah. Welcome, everybody. And hello, Rachel.
Welcome. How you doing? Hello. I'm great. It's good to see you. I missed you this weekend. I was with the family celebrating our grandmother's 95th birthday.
Wow.
And it was so fun. And I had a great time chatting it up with my Aunt Trish Laturski, past guest of the episode.
Hi, Aunt Trish.
As well as sisters Emily, updating her on all sorts of stuff. But I was missing you in the conversation about TTPD, etc.
I know. I called Grandma. I FaceTimed Mom because I wanted to see everybody, but she didn't answer. So that's a damn shame. But yeah, I'm glad you guys had a good time. Fill me in on Emily, our sister Emily. Where does she stand with Torch of Poets?
Okay, well, first I want to tell a story that kind of goes with that. So we were sitting down at dinner and Emily was like, okay, we need to talk. I need you to like lay out the Torch of Poets department and what I need to know. And we were like, okay, and Trish and I were like, okay, we're going to do that. And then she's like, also, isn't it wild that Fran's band opened for the 1975?
What?
Wait, thank you for that reaction.
That happened?
That was my exact reaction. And then I'm like, wait, what?
No. Okay, Fran, our cousin Fran. I mean, gosh, we like to play the game drink every time we mention Fran because she is iconic. She's been a past guest in our episode. She's one of our best friends. She is our cousin. And she's an incredible musician and songwriter. And I've known her to tour with some bands and work with some great acts. But the 1975, Rachel, are you serious? I had no idea.
Yes. Yes. And so it was funny because Emily thought she was coming in here like to get some information. And the first thing she drops is something that we didn't know. Okay. So apparently when the 1975 was, you know, it's a British band. It was coming over in 2013 doing a tour in America and nobody bought tickets. Like nobody knew who they were. Nobody cared about them. So they were using local bands wherever they went to be an opener to like draw a crowd. And so this was when Fran, this is in 2013, when Fran was in the band Kid Runner.
Right. And Kid Runner, check them out. Their music is still on Spotify. It slaps.
It's some great music. I still listen to it. So Kid Runner opened in Columbus for the 1975, And then as we're talking, Aunt Trish was like, wait a second, I was there.
Oh my God.
It was like, Trish. I know. It's wild. She's like, I bet we talked about this, but she like, I forgot about it in the shuffle of Maddie Healy in 1975.
Oh my God.
So then I like text Fran, like so many capitalization shout texting. Like, I cannot believe you like never told me about this. And she was like, yeah, actually Maddie Healy came into the radio station where she worked a lot.
Oh my God.
Like, and her biggest regret is that she never got a selfie with him.
Fran, you.
I know.
Dirty little cousin, you.
Isn't that wild?
It's so wild. I mean, it is wild joy, wild boy. It is a lot.
It's totally wild boy, Leo Joy.
Congrats, Fran. Congrats, Aunt Trish.
I know, right? That's like our like little fun little connection. How does Emily feel about it? She has had a listen, but you know, Emily, I don't think she knew how to feel, but she really enjoyed the backstory and me kind of like walking her through
what we know and didn't know.
Yeah.
Hold your hand during that. Not like you needed me to, but
I know.
Yeah, well, if you've listened to everybody, if you've listened to many episodes ago when we broke down Love Story, that was when Emily, our sister, was a featured guest, and she admitted that she has secretly loved Taylor Swift all these years, but only the fun, happy songs and not the sad part of Taylor Swift. So naturally, I can't imagine Tortured Poets would be something that she would gravitate towards, but... And I know that Emily's not listening because she definitely does not listen to our podcast because, you know, she's too cool for school or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So, Sam, that's my news. What's some news that you got? What's some other things on your list you want
to chat
about?
Things to talk about, Rachel. Okay. The first one is so silly, but I learned about this today and I just kind of want to talk about it. I feel like we'll have fun talking about this. There is now 11 Taylor Swift albums. And this 11th album has 31 songs in it, which if you think about is like every day of the month, there are 31 days in the most months. So
if you wanted
to specifically identify with a certain song, you just choose your birthday. For you, it would be the 14th. And you choose the 14th track. Now, what's extra special is there's something called a full Taylor Swift birthday song. And that's when you can choose your birth month is the album and the birth date is the track number. And you and I both have a full Taylor birthday. So like if you were born, I was talking to my friend Megan about this. Megan, shout out. Thank you for enlightening me about this. She was born on the 25th of October, the 10th month. The 10th album is Midnights. There's not 25 songs. So unfortunately, Megan does not have a full Taylor Swift birthday. But you and I
do. Too bad, Megan.
You and I do, Rachel.
I was going to look it up, but you tell me. You surprised me. What's my birthday? This up.
So your birthday is April 14th. That's 4/14.
Yes.
So your album is Red, which I feel like
of
is
course,
very
love it.
For you.
Yes. Song am I getting?
The 14th
Better
track.
Better not be Message in a Bottle.
It's not Message in a Bottle. The 14th track is Everything Has Changed, featuring Ed Sheeran.
Oh, Everything Has Changed.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
That's a good one. I love that song. You know I love any of the duets together, so.
Sure.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Yeah.
So, great. That's me. That's giving Rachel.
That's you. It. Hi. That's your birthday. It's you. Okay. So.
Yeah. What about you?
I have a full Taylor Swift birthday. My birthday is July 15th. That's 7/15. Seventh album is Lover. Very fitting for me. One of my favorites.
Lover.
And the 15th track is Afterglow, which is a great song.
Oh, yeah.
A little moody.
Okay, good. We got good songs.
But like, we both got good songs. I feel like we're very happy about that.
You didn't get me, and I didn't get Stay. So we're like, phew.
I mean, phew. Okay. Like our least favorite songs of all time, right? No. We got to stop.
No. We don't. Those don't exist.
Those don't exist. But, we got called out, Rachel, by Mom. Apparently, Mom was listening to our episode, and we were making fun of Shake It Off, as we do. And apparently mom loves that song, and that's what she listens to every New Year's Eve.
This is great.
Who knew that? Who the fuck knew that?
All right. Well, Dee Dee Ranky might need to be a guest on this podcast discussing the poetic nature of Shake It Off.
Yeah. Dee Dee Ranky, our mother, but apparently not Clark Ranky, our father, because it sounds like he was a little eye-rolly over the weekend guys were obsessed over Taylor Swift. Shout out, Dad. We love you no matter what. Okay, so that's
what
I wanted to talk about was Taylor Swift's birthday. How fun. Another thing I think you and I need to talk about, Rachel, is Charlie fucking Puth. Because
yes,
I mean, we didn't really go into it, but obviously Charlie got a shout out in Taylor's song The Tortured Poets Department, the title track of the brand new album, and a really good shout out too.
You smoked them 8-7 bars of chocolate. We declare Charlie Puth should be a bigger artist.
I wonder if Charlie Puth was like listening to this like the rest of us at midnight, or if somebody had to text him and then he got like a million messages the next day that Taylor Swift gave him a shout out. Her brand new album is a really good shout out. So all of that to say, Charlie Puth has very recently announced he's finally like spoken up about it. And he said that the past few weeks have been obviously a little crazy for him. He's overwhelmed. And he thanks that special person. He didn't specify, but he's like, you know who you are. I really want to thank you.
I love that he said that. You know who you are.
You know who you are. Wow, that's kind of like a Maddie Healy Taylor Swift reference, isn't it? Remember when they were like,
yes, okay. I assume that's why he did that.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't think
I don't
about
know.
That.
Maybe not. Know. That's what I was picking up on. But.
That's another thing to fathom. But basically, Charlie was like, you know what? I'm just going to release some new music because I feel inspired and honored right now. And absolutely you should, Charlie, because you have been put on a pedestal. The Taylor Swift has considered you someone who needs to be a bigger artist, and this is your time to shine.
I mean I just can imagine his agent or whatever was like, Charlie, you get out there right now. You gotta get in that game and give us that single you've been sitting on. Yeah. The one that you're anxious about, that you don't like to, you're a little vulnerable, like, you give it to them.
Now
these
the time,
Swifties
Charlie.
Are ready for it
now. Yeah. Is the time. Swifties are ready for it. To be honest, I've done my fair share of listening of Charlie Puth, and I've got some mixed feelings about Charlie Puth that I'm going to save. So let's put a pin in that.
Okay, put a pin in that.
But Charlie Puth has some new music coming out, so that's exciting. And I just wanted
good.
Talk about that.
It's just too bad. I mean, good for you, Charlie Puth. But I remember when Taylor reached out to us and was like, hey, guys, how do you feel if I put in a song, Swift and Swigs should be a better podcast.
Oh my God, Rachel.
Or a bigger podcast. And we were like, I don't know, that's kind of weird, Taylor. It doesn't really flow really well. Do you have something else? So, but now I'm regretting it.
He's like, there's three syllables. Swift and Swigs worked, and they weren't sure if that worked. And so she's like, I need another, what's next tier? There's Swift and Swigs is first tier. Charlie Puth, that'll work. Yeah, Troye Sivan maybe. Yeah, anyways, Love that for Charlie Puth. Love that for us. We're going to be getting some Charlie Puth music coming up. I just had to mention that. Okay, Rachel, there's another thing I kind of want to talk about right now, which is really silly and ridiculous, but maybe you'll be into it as much as I am right now. And that is, as of right now, in this exact moment, the 2024 Met Gala is going on.
Oh, and that's right.
I have been watching the red carpet, waiting for a certain Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce to appear. You're nodding your head like you.
They're not there, are they? I feel like she needs to be in Paris.
They've yet to arrive, and I think by this point, the event
she's getting some beauty
started.
Sleep. Yeah, she's getting reacclimated to Europe.
She is probably not only getting her beauty sleep, not only is she probably already in Europe, she's probably rehearsing the new performances.
Less than three.
I mean, what do we think, Rachel? So this week,
she's on stage.
As of now of the recording, we have yet to find out. So this is the week that she goes to Paris to perform in Paris. The first time that she's performed since the Tortured Poets Department has come out there. And there's, this is one thing we haven't talked about. In all the discussion of the Tortured Poets Department, we've talked about the songs, we've talked about the dip, we've talked about Mary Healy.
Yeah.
But we haven't talked about how does this affect her performance. I mean, she still has, I don't know, I'm estimating a number here, 50 shows maybe left of the Eras Tour. I mean, she is performing almost nonstop, starting in Paris until the end of this year, completing the Eras Tour. So there are a lot of shows left, and there's an entire new era. So what are we thinking is going to happen to the Eras Tour, Rachel? What are your thoughts?
I mean,
are we getting Tortured Poets? Are we
getting a set? I think for sure. Yeah, I think for sure we're getting Tortured Poets Department.
Like for sure, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't for sure until she released that, one of the Fortnite YouTube clips, and there's YouTube shorts.
Completely convinced from that as well. That also convinced me.
Yeah, I think it's happening. But the bigger question is how? How is she incorporating this? I changed my mind a lot. Like, I thought it would be fun if she inserted each of these songs like throughout, like certain songs throughout all of the eras as almost like a conversation of almost the way that like if after Lover, she did something like Down Bad or
input one song
or Fresh Out the Slammer
in between sets.
Yeah. Just as like a contrast to, or like, I don't know. I really, really love Who's Afraid of Little Old Me being like following Tolerate It as a like transition into Reputation. Because like in my mind, I was like she's starting to get kind of angry and Tolerate It. And then if she like goes into Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, and that's like,
oh, I don't that.
Know. I just thought that could be really fun. That transition was fun. But Daddy, I Love Him could be really fun, like right after Love Story, right? Like, I don't
True.
Know.
True.
I just was like, but all that to say, I don't think that's how she's going to do it. Like, I think it's going to be
its own set.
It's own set, and I think it's going to be at the end because that's just how she's done. Like, Midnights was at the end.
But Karma is such a good closer. And I could see I Can Do It with a Broken Heart being a closer as well. But again, it's almost too on the nose. And I feel like she's a little bit smarter than that to do that.
Agree. We close out Eras Tour Chapter 2 with But Daddy, I Love Him.
You know what? I love that. And that, okay, that to me, But Daddy, I Love Him makes more sense to me than I Can Do It with a Broken Heart.
Yeah. It calls back to her country era. It kind of calls out, I mean, it calls us out, but almost just like in a tongue-in-cheek funny sort of way. Yes. More so than like, oh, hey, this actual Eras Tour is depressing and I'm miserable. Bye.
Yes. That I just feel like there's so much great
fading, like Wild Boy, Wild Joy. She's dancing around the stage. Like, I just feel like there's a lot of joy to that song.
Well, and there's so much joy. And I think she has learned that we have attached ourselves to the joy of this song. I mean, this has been a fan favorite since the song has come out, even though we know that she is definitely calling us out a little bit. Nonetheless, this has been a top performing song off of the album.
But Sam, she made the set list before the album was out. She had to be practicing. She had to have choreographers. So
it's probably true.
She had to guess.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past her for coming up with this choreography in 2.5 weeks' time.
I mean, that's true.
It could happen.
And they're all so talented, they could probably pick it up pretty quickly.
But I don't think she was like, you know, let's wait to figure out the set list once we know the track numbers. No. I don't think she would have done that. She plans so much in advance. And I think she knows that But Daddy, I Love Him is a banger that we would love. So I like that. Okay, I like that.
Okay.
So I don't know about you, Rachel. I don't have a day job. So I will be live streaming. I should rephrase that because I texted my friend Sarah today. I was like, "Hey, I'll be live streaming the show on Thursday, and I'll be live streaming the Paris show." And she was like, "Oh my god, you're gonna be there? You're gonna be live streaming
like as the live streamer?"
I was like, "No. How do I rephrase that? I will be tuning in to the live streams from the comfort of my home, and because I don't have a day job or a life, I just love Taylor Swift so." It's on at such a respectable hour. It is in the middle of our day. We don't have to be up super late. And we will know. I mean, by the time this episode comes out, the world knows. But as of now, Rachel and I,
we do not know.
Yeah. We can only guess and estimate and get excited about. I think all it's safe to say she's doing more than just tortured poets during the surprise song moments. I think it's safe to say that. So, but hey, we have been wrong in the past. We have clowned our lives down bad. So we'll see what happens. All right, Rachel. That was a lot of...
That was a lot of bullet points. Okay, let's get into this.
Before we get into the song of the week, I just want to put our plugs in here. First of all, I want to give a shout out. I don't know if I've actually officially ever done this, but I just want to say hi and hello and I love you to... all of the internet friends that we have made, specifically on TikTok and on Instagram. I know that a lot of you guys follow our social media accounts, and that is awesome. But what's also really awesome is that we have fun conversations, and we follow each other, and we laugh with each other, and we make jokes with each other. So if you guys are listening to this right now because you found us on the internet, and we've had some funny laughs, I just want to say hi. That's amazing. And it's really fun to have a community of online Swiggies and Swifties to just share our love of this incredible artist about. It's not
you are honorary sibs in this.
Absolutely, you are. Yeah. So on that note, I just want to plug here, everybody. If you're not already following us, please give us a follow at Swift and Swigs Podcast over on our Instagram and our TikTok, where we post our cocktail content and funny clips of our recordings. You can tune into our show notes over at swiftandswigspod.substack.com, where we include links to every little niche thing we've talked about in this episode and recipes to our cocktails that we're about to share with you. If you're listening to us on Spotify, please give us a follow. Give us a 5-star rating over there. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, also please give us a 5-star review and leave us a review, because it's been a while, Rachel, that we've been able to share an Apple Podcast review. And we know you're listening on Apple Podcasts, and we would love to hear from you guys. So leave us a positive review over on Apple Podcasts, and we're going to be stoked to
do it.
We'll be stoked to read it on air. If you guys have any recommendations for new shit that you think we would be totally into, or songs that you think we should cover on our podcast, you can send us an email to swiftandswigspodcast@gmail.com. We've gotten some recommendations, Rachel, and I'm
good.
Yeah.
I need some direction.
I know, seriously, new directions for sure. All that to say, I think it's about time we get into this week's episode. Wait, no.
Nope. No, we will not.
Instead, let me rewind here. I think it's time we get into some new shit.
I'm doing good. I'm on some new shit.
Entering this segment, are we doing good and on some new shit? Absolutely. There is, yet again, so much new shit. And I have got like a list of things that I am prepared to talk about on this episode. But I'm almost afraid that I'm going to say something that you also want to cover. So I'm kind of wanting you to go first, just in case, you know, because am I not going to choose what you're going to choose?
I doubt it.
Highly doubt it. Okay. So why don't you go first then?
I'm going to go first because I'm pulling a Rachel, which is I'm going back. I remember in early 2023, I brought up an artist or a group that I should have known about, but I had not heard of, called the 1975.
Oh my God. I was waiting for you to talk about this. You have talked. This has been your new show.
I know. I know, but like for real, I did start listening to more of the 1975. I finally took a break from Tizzo Tizzo P Dizzo.
Yes.
And I decided to do some research, and I know I kind of mentioned this in the last podcast, but dang, Sam, I really like them. I really love the 1975.
Of course.
Their music is like wildly all out there, but like the lyric-wise, but the music is so killer. It's just it's so fun. Good.
It's so fun. So catchy.
So it's so catchy. So I was like bouncing around to different albums and different things, but one song title caught my attention because it's also a Taylor Swift song title. And,
oh my God, I know where you're going with this.
So today the song I'm talking about is Happiness.
Oh, I did not know where you're going with this.
I didn't think you did. there may be another song that we will bring up later. This song is Happiness. It's on How to Be Funny in a Foreign Language.
Well, that's the most recent album. That's the one that you've already talked about. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right. And it's on that album. And it is a ball of joy. I really enjoy it. I'm still trying to fathom the words, but there was a line that gets repeated a lot, which is like about growing up and I still love her. And I don't know why, but that just made me think of Peter and Taylor. And
wow.
I cannot listen to a 1975 song without going, I know. Curious. So that's just like when I'm listening, I'm just like thinking about that and also feeling like, oh, what a truly wild boy this guy is. So, and who makes really great music and also seems really messed up. So anyway, that's my new shit.
All the best artists are also the most messed up and tortured at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't really have like much more to say about the happiness other than it's just a fun song. It's joyful. It's catchy. I like it.
Rachel, you are not alone in listening to the 1975 as of late. And that's why I wanted you you to go first, because on my list of if Rachel doesn't talk about, I will.
But
this is not my new shit, but I've also been listening to more of the 1975 ever since Taylor dropped this album on us. And I'm just ever reminded, I've never not liked the 1975's music, but I'm now just further reminded of how great this music is. So I'm glad you chose that one. But that's not what I'm going to choose this week, Rachel. I want to choose an artist that we have talked about, that we have seen live, that has opened up for Taylor Swift, that has just put out a brand new single. And that would be Gracie Abrams and her new song, Risk. Have you listened to this yet, Rach? It just came out.
I have not. No, I was like, I think I was waiting for like the full album. So, okay.
Oh, man. Great. Let me tell you, it caught me immediately. And it has an incredible sound to it. It's one of those songs I have to recommend you absolutely pair it with the music video. The music video has such an energy and story to it. The song Risk is the first single off of Gracie's upcoming album, which is due in a few weeks time from now. I'm very excited for that. And it's about jumping into the deep end, which is a risk, even because she knows she might drown. And it's going for something that is just scary and risky. But the sound quality of the song is really my favorite part of it. There is an Aaron Dessner guitar throughout the entire song.
I'm so excited. I did hear that Aaron Dessner produced the album. Yeah. So I'm super excited about that.
It's just got a great guitar beat to it. Jumping in the deep end. It's more fun to swim in. Heard the risk is drowning, but I'm gonna take it. I'm gonna take it. And it is
love it.
Fun and heartfelt. And you can tell that she was quite vulnerable when she wrote this song, and definitely when she recorded the music video. Again, you have to watch the music video for it. It's pretty iconic. So very much excited for Gracie Abrams' new album coming out. And
same.
That's the new shit for this week, Rachel. Can't wait to get into more new shit next week. Can collectively the artists just kind of take a break? Because I've got so much to talk about. I mean, I want to talk about, like, I've got a list of artists I cannot wait to talk about. So stay tuned, I guess, is all I'm going to say about that for now. Stay tuned.
Let's get into our song, Sam.
Okie dokie, Rachel. I think you better do the introduction of the song this week, considering that you chose it. Rachel, what are we doing?
This week, in honor of Taylor Swift reopening her Eras tour in the lovely City of Lights, we are doing the song Paris. I was taken by the view like we were in Paris. Like we were somewhere else. Like we were in Paris. Oh, we were somewhere else. I feel like this song is such a fun bop. Such a great song to listen to. And also was really curious to, in light of what we know about Taylor Swift and just everything going on in her life, I think I refathomed this song totally different than the first time I listened to it. So I'm really excited to get into this with you and actually have like a fun little bop to chit chat about.
It's definitely a bop, Rachel. This is one of the
bop. It's not even a sad bop. This is like a happy bop.
It is a happy and I'm in love bop. And it is one of my favorites off of the entire album. And I'm talking the collective Midnight Standard 3 a.m. edition. This song has always been one of my favorites. And
not at all surprised.
I have thought about this song since the moment you and I discussed that we wanted to
a
podcast where we pair cocktails and Taylor Swift songs. This one was one of the very first ones that popped into my mind. I think in part because when we came up with the concept for our podcast, we were very fresh into the Midnight's era. So this song was just generally on repeat in my mind.
Yes.
But there are just some cocktail ideas to do with pairs. I mean, there is an endless array of things you could do to pair cocktails to a song called Paris, especially about being in love. So with that being said, Rachel, I think it's time we get into our swigs that we paired with.
Let's start sipping. Paris. Sip, sip, sipping away.
I have had this next to me for so long and I am about to pour it into my
glass. I really like that you brought the shaker to the studio.
You know, sometimes you just gotta shake it off. You know what I'm saying? You shake it off. So, Rachel, I guess I'll go first. Is that all right?
Please do.
I went kind of an obvious route. The cocktail I immediately thought of, Rachel, was the French 75.
Great.
And you know, when we first thought of this podcast, we're with cocktails and everything, I was like, oh, I'll just make a French 75. But I've gotten so much more involved in these cocktails that I can't just simply replicate a French 75. I've got to do something different. So a French 75 is a classic Parisian cocktail made with gin, lemon juice, simple syrup, and a topping of champagne. So here's my twist on all of that, Rachel. I wanted to give it a bit more of a Parisian feel. So I know that the French love their butter. And I have been playing around.
Oh.
I
don't know,
playing around with butter in a lot of recent cocktails. This time I made a butter simple syrup. And it's brown sugar based, with a little butter melted in there. So that's the simple syrup addition to my French 75. Now, the champagne, which I'm about to pour into this glass, Rachel, here, let me hold the mic to it. Oh, no, it's overflowing. Hang on.
You need to should be ready to sip that. Okay, so it's all over the computer keyboard. Sam is currently slurping it
up. Sorry about that. Okay, so the champagne that I use, of course, is not your finest champagne. It is a cheap wine version
given the lyric in the
song.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I'm calling this, Rachel?
What are you calling this?
I'm going to call this the French 89.
Okay!
Because our girl Taylor.
Yes, Sam, I love it.
I don't know if you know this. She and I were born in 1989.
My name is Sam, and I was born in 1989.
Yes. So this is my French 89 in honor of the song Paris.
I love it.
Clink, clink. Did you do the same thing? Because I was clink, like, this seems like the obvious choice. So.
No, I think it probably was my first choice a while ago, but then. I've been wanting an excuse to make this particular cocktail. Once again, I have another week when I have like a cocktail I want to make, waiting for the right moment.
Yes.
This is the moment. I had picked a different song and maybe I'll tweak it and use it again. A month or two ago, a few weeks, last year, I don't know, sometime recently, multiple people sent me article about Taylor Swift announcing her favorite go-to cocktail. And no, Sam, that is not
a vodka Diet Coke. The like
vodka Diet Coke. The girl has elevated herself.
Yeah, no, I think we've talked about this, but I don't remember.
The girl has gone to Paris and she loves what is called the French Blonde. Okay?
French Blonde. Yes. The French
Blonde. Okay. And So I made a French blonde and I've been wanting to make it and it is so good. And partially why it worked perfectly is this cocktail has elderflower liqueur, is a great spring liqueur. It brings the floral into your beverage. I would recommend it for so many different cocktails.
I mean, you don't have to, you're preaching to the choir. You know, I love me.
I know. Liqueur. And Sam, I was surprised you didn't put elderflower liqueur in your, because I know that there's a French 76, I think is what it's variations. Called, that has elderflower.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So you could add in elderflower liqueur and you have it to make with both of these cocktails. Okay. But even better, this cocktail also has Lillet in it.
Oh, and yes,
I recently bought some Lillet and I love Lillet. Lillet is going to be making its appearance in multiple cocktails because I'm just drinking it straight on the rocks. I'm drinking it in sparkling water. I'm making it to a spritzes, whatever. It's like,
Rachel, what so is good.
It's a French aperitif, a digestif, like, right? Like a dry vermouth, but kind of sweet, like a sweeter dry. I don't know. What is it? Am I saying it right?
I don't know. I asked you.
Okay. I thought this was a test. Now, I think of it kind of like a white sweet vermouth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It like has those similar flavors. It's sweeter, but it's clearish color.
Is it herbal and floralish, maybe?
It's kind of herbal. Yeah. It's just light. It's very light. I love it. So this, a French blonde has gin, Lillet, elderflower liqueur, and grapefruit juice.
Yum.
So it's so.
And has Taylor commented that this is like her new fave? Like,
yes, it like hit the news. Like, this is what Taylor loves drinking. So I don't know if that's true. Maybe she had it once and decided I need to, Tree Payne was like, we really need to work on your like PR about what you drink, Taylor.
Tree Payne was like, there are some cocktail enthusiasts, Swifties out there who have been judging you hardcore.
Yeah.
And you need to step
but
it up.
But Daddy, I love Diet Coke and vodka. And Tree Payne's like, no, girl, no. So I'm calling this Somewhere Else.
Oh, that's good. That is good. These cocktails are good, Rachel. Cheers. Clink, clink.
They are clink, clink.
What do they say in French?
Salut?
Salut.
Salut? No?
I like they say salut. If there's any French listeners out there, that is one of the countries. When I do a new country alert, we have yet to get a listener from France. Maybe.
Okay, well, surely after this week, surely. I feel like we're going to get somebody. Yeah.
Surely. So, salute until we get corrected otherwise. Amazeballs, Rachel. Okay, so let's break down the song Paris. We've got our cocktails. We've got the energy. I'm loving this energy. Let's break down this song in our three typical categories, starting with the spirit of the song, the message of the song, the theme, the overall vibes of the song. Then we'll break down the musical mixology, the production, and the sound qualities that we are hearing in the song, the sound qualities that we love from this song, the sound qualities that make it the bop that it is. And then lastly, let's do Taylor with a twist. By the way, I've got a twist in my drink this week. I've got a little lemon twist going in there. Just wanted to mention that.
Lovely.
We will talk about the lyrics that make the story of the song. And boy, am I excited for every single one of these categories. But let's start off with category number one, Rachel, the spirit of the song Paris. You chose the song. What to you is the spirit of the song?
On surface, I feel like this like is wanting to just escape where you are by going somewhere else in your mind, right? So obviously a great place to go would be Paris, because it's the city of love, and like it just feels like such an obvious choice. And I think if anyone was just like, if you say Paris, you're like, yes, I just want to go there, I want to escape, I want to drink in a cafe and like just forget about everything. And I think that actually is a great concept for a song. Like, of course we want to escape. I've actually written an essay myself about escaping in your mind. Paris, I've been to Paris. I went to Paris right before I had kids. It was like our let's go before we decide to start a new chapter in our lives. And I always think about that trip. I think like that's where I go when I'm stressed. That's where I go when I'm like sad. That's where Mike and I will like talk about and reminisce about.
Wow, so you can really relate to this song in that sense.
I very much, in fact, in my essay, I talk about escaping there during the pandemic when we had our kids and we couldn't go anywhere. And we like escaped for the night to Paris. Wow. When we like make dinner together and that kind of thing. So adorable. I'll share the link to that in the show notes. But I, on first listen, like that's what the vibe that I get from the song, particularly if we think about if this song, and I said if this song is about Joe or about a relationship where you may need to keep, maybe you're keeping private or you're staying in more, mm-hmm. as we have learned about Taylor. Also, we've learned that Taylor needed to escape a lot in her mind and in her creativity because she was stuck inside, literally, figuratively, mm-hmm. whatever. And so she wanted to go back to those feelings of like, we're in love. And I've heard this as like an antithesis or like a second Lavender Haze or another version of Lavender Haze.
Sure. I could see that.
Yeah.
And I think the reasons for that, Rachel, I mean, just to kind of touch upon that, is there's some lyrical ties with the song Lavender Haze. The song Lavender Haze, if you don't count Meet Me at Midnight, the song starts with staring at the ceiling with you. And in this yes. song, she is drawing a map on your bedroom ceiling where she's also staring at.
Yes. Staring at the ceiling with you. Oh, you don't have to say too
much. I'm so in love that I might stop breathing. Drew a map on your bedroom ceiling. And so we're right. picturing the same person, kind of in a way. But also, Lavender Haze is about ignoring the press and ignoring what they're saying about you and just being in the love bubble, which is the Lavender Haze. Paris has very similar vibes to that. It's ignoring what the current situation is and just escaping that current situation and going to someplace that she's happier, right? Yeah. And this is yeah. not the first time, and this isn't the last time, that Taylor has yeah, discussed yeah. these themes of escapism in her songs. We talked about yeah. this briefly in a recent episode But the new song on her album, I Hate It Here,
totally
is another example of this. And, you know, without trying to get too much into that song now, because I definitely want to reserve an entire episode about that song. That song is about going to a different place in her mind because she's maybe unhappy where she currently is. But in mentioning that a few episodes ago, I related it to the song Christmas Tree Farm, which we have discussed on our podcast. And I believe it was you that actually kind of speculated that she was escaping her current life, maybe with her relationship with Joe, to be back home with her family. So that's another example. Yes. And then another example that I hadn't thought of until I did a little bit of research onto the song is the song The Lakes, which is the bonus song off of Folklore, where she's dreaming about the Lakes District in England and how she wishes she could just, again, escape to that place.
Take me to the lakes.
Take me to the lakes, right? So I think a lot of us daydream about the idea of Paris. I should say a lot of us that don't live in Paris, France, right? It's such an iconic city that represents beauty and allure and love and intrigue. So because of that reason, I think it's one of her finest concepts of escapism, because it's very relatable in that sense. Like, I've never been to the Lakes District. I don't know what that's like. I don't know what her Christmas tree farm in Pennsylvania is like. I've never read the book The Secret Garden, so I don't know what that's like. But
I mean, it seems really accessible. It seems like anyone can relate to, like, that's how I want to feel when I'm in love. Like, I think you can even imagine if things are getting kind of bad, like, you can both just, like, go to Paris and like, in your mind, and you can remind yourself of where you are. However, another concept that I just could not stay away from was you also might be wanting to keep your relationship a secret, and you might want to escape together and let it live and breathe. And the only way to do that is to go there in your mind. And I can't, I know that I'm being influenced by, is every song about Maddie Healy now? But there was just a lot of, I just have a lot of curiosities, especially because we know that at this time when the song was written for Midnights, Taylor was not in a great space.
Let's be careful with our wording. We don't know, Rachel. You said we know that Taylor was in a good space. And I think we should remind ourselves that when analyzing songs off of Midnights or Folklore or Evermore or Tortured Poets or anything, we don't know, do we?
We don't know.
But
we don't know. Okay, thank you for calling
me out. It's not like she's not making it. She's giving us clues. But I just want to be clear here. We don't know.
Thank you.
We don't know.
Okay. So based on other songs on the album at this time, we see Taylor writing a lot of music where she's wrestling with love and whether or not she's going back in the past to try to understand a current situation, or she's having a lot of memories because she's re-recording her albums, or whatever it is that she's resting. She's staying awake at night and she's thinking about things. And maybe sometimes she thinks about really sad things. And other times maybe she's thinking about, how can I literally push down these walls? I'm picturing the Lavender Haze music video, where she literally is like, I can't stare at the ceiling anymore. I need to push down these walls. I need to be in Paris. In my mind, of course, in the song, whatever it takes, like, that was one way of trying to live in this season of whatever she was dealing with. So that's the spirit. That's part of the spirit. Yeah. Of the song.
It's funny because this is on surface level, it's a very fun song. And I think it's meant to be viewed as a love song. But nonetheless, you and I, we cannot help but dig
I know.
And look for, because we have this understanding of what she was going through during this time. So surface level, we've discussed the spirit. Surface level is this idea of escapism in her mind, and it's a love story. But let's save some of those thoughts for the lyrics. Let's talk about the musical mixology.
Music.
And what aspects make this song the bop that it is? Do you want I feel like I always just take the lead on this, but if you have thoughts, please.
Well, I love how it begins because it begins quiet and then swellsies.
Yes, it swellsies. This is a swellsier. We haven't had a swellsie in a minute.
It opens up. It's like where you aerate a glass of wine. Like it's cheap wine, if you will.
Oh,
it is opening up into some sounds as if you are going into a dream, going into a memory. Your ex-friend's sister. If I really was like being really imaginative, I heard the city sounds of Paris. So I heard the sirens. I heard honking.
I have written down screeching. There is a little bit of like a melodic way of screeching that Jack Antonoff has used in the production of this sound. We were somewhere else, stumbled down pretend alleyways, cheap wine, make believe it's champagne. I was taken by the view like we were in Paris. So yes, this is a Jack Antonoff produced song. I feel like he did a little bit of interpolation from this song into the song. It sounds like when she sings Paris, and when she rhymes that with we were somewhere else, we were
somewhere else, which is a brilliant rhyme.
It truly is. I feel like he's interpolating that and really muffling the vocals and putting it into the background. And that's sort of what I'm hearing. It's so fun. It's so much
fun. It's a lot of fun. It feels like something that would be on Lover. Like it has that, like the snaps and the pops. Like this feels like a Lover song. And I think that feels intentional because she's really trying to call back to that era and to remember what it felt like to be in love.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a really fun bop. And it comes in a moment of the album, the 3 AM edition. There's a lot of heavy hitting songs in the 3 AM edition. And And there's a lot of heavy hitting songs in the standard edition of Midnights too. And this is, I think, like the most carefree of them all. Like it's not self-deprecating very. It's just a really fun, light-hearted sounding song, and for that reason I freaking love it. It's just a pick-me-up song, and it's a really good one to listen to, and it's one that I think everybody should be putting on their summer playlists, whether this was last year's summer playlist or this year's summer playlist. It's definitely a summer bop. I don't think we're talking about that. It's a summer bop.
No,
so
we are not talking about that. There are not enough conversations about summer bops.
Well, leave it to us to talk about the summer bops. So okay, Rachel, with that in the past, let's move forward in discussing the Taylor with a Twist, the lyrics of this song. I am going to take a switch of my French 89.
Before we do it.
I have a feeling we're going to twist some things that maybe Taylor didn't even intend. But
I think we should because why not? I'll start by reading. Your ex-friend's sister met someone at a club and he kissed her. Turns out it was that guy you hooked up with ages ago, some wannabe Z-lister. Hey, Sam, by the way, I'm not telling you this. This is actually the lyrics in the song. Okay.
Just in case you were confused. Continue. Yes, go on.
And all the outfits were terrible. 2003, unbearable. Did you see the photos?
No, I didn't, but thanks, though.
Did you see the photos? No, I didn't, but thanks, though.
Sweeties, I wish you could see my sister when she was reenacting that, because you were giving the sassy neck. You were zigging your zaggy body. And that's exactly how this should be read.
And totally. It's, I mean, let's break down this first verse.
I could have just said it the way that Taylor does, because she practically speaks those words. Mm-hmm. And what's so funny to me is that, like, for one, she knows that we're all like immediately Googling what ex-friend sister is right. she talking about, and right. who did they kiss, and what what list are they, and what were they wearing, and oh my gosh, what is she talking about? And what's hysterical is, like, I don't think Taylor's just talking about anything.
Well, the most important thing to note is that upon first listen, you don't know that what she's singing there is in quotation marks said from right. somebody else.
You
to
do not.
Taylor Swift.
You do not.
Until the very last line, end quote, Taylor sings, "No, I didn't, but think so." So all of yeah. those lines is what is being said to Taylor, because before we know that, we're thinking that she's singing your ex friend's sister met somebody
yeah,
at a
yeah,
turns
yeah.
out it was that guy you hooked, and it's like, is she singing into Joe? Did Joe hook up with a yeah, guy? Yeah,
no.
What?
We are all confused. We are like, wait, what?
So
what,
confused.
What?
We're so like, confused. Turns out,
which I think is the point. Turns out it was.
Turns out it was. It's being said to Taylor, and the whole yes. thing at the end is she's like, "No, I didn't see. I don't know about this gossip. I don't have any idea what you're talking about. I don't care what you're talking about.
In fact, none of this matters.
None of this matters because I'm so in love. I'm so in love. And no, this whole first verse, that is the concept. But can we just talk about some of these lines? I mean, how sure, freaking funny are these lines? This is so Taylor Swift. I mean, only Taylor Swift could write these lines. I don't even have the lyrics pulled up. Hang
I mean, only Taylor Swift could write these lines, but also how this isn't exactly a conversation that would have happened in real life. Like,
yeah.
your ex-friend's sister met a girl, someone at a club, and he kissed her. Like you would say that, like, oh, he's just like one of them. Oh, and what about the outfits? Oh my gosh.
I mean, I just, that's the best so line. Amazing. I just love,
yeah.
Wannabe Z-lister is so petty. Yes. All the outfits were terrible. 2003, unbearable. I mean, should we just flash back to the 2003 red carpet? Like, look at those fashion. That was probably some of the worst fashion we've had. I mean, talk about the Met Gala's antithesis.
Sam, we should put a picture in the show notes of you in 2003 and me in 2003.
Oh my God, I would love that. I'm immediately picturing myself. There's a picture of, I think, you and I, Rachel, in a picture frame in Mom and Dad's house during the year 2003.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like on the speaker underneath the mounted buck. And it says, the picture frame says, like, family on it.
And of course it does.
There's a picture of, maybe it's me. I feel like it's you and I. And I'm wearing my favorite sweatshirt, which was an Abercrombie sweatshirt with cargo shorts. And you're probably wearing some other 2003 unbearable. I mean, this picture was straight out of 2003. So if we can find that, then yes, we will absolutely post that. But that's just, it's just, just a funny freaking line, because the outfits were pretty unbearable in that year.
This is just, it really is great. It's not, I mean, it's also funny, but it really does call to attention. I mean, Taylor herself is almost calling herself out. Like, hey, I'm the one who's moved on. I have moved on from caring what the internet says about me, about this, that, the other. Like, I'm removing myself from the gossip, guys. I am in love and none of that matters. Like, I'm going, and also, I'm going to stay hidden. I'm going to stay, because right now, this girl in love in Paris, she wants to stay away from all that.
So we get, I'm so in love that I might stop breathing. Drew a map on your bedroom ceiling. No, I didn't see the news because we were somewhere else. Stumbled down pretend alleys, waste cheap wine, make believe it's champagne. I was taken by the view like we were in Paris. And then we get kind of more of a chorus there. But let's break this part down before we really get into that. So this is why she is telling us that all this gossip, all this gab, she wasn't paying attention to, because she's so in love. And I really like this line, drew a map on your bedroom ceiling. This paints a couple different images. One, you're picturing her on her back in her boyfriend's bed, staring up at the ceiling, just like we get in Lavender Haze.
Staring at the ceiling with you.
Yes. But she's drawing a map on his bedroom ceiling as if to draw her escape route, correct? Or in a sense, like she's memorized the ceiling because she's been lying next to this person for so long, maybe. Like she can literally can draw a map on this, like she knows every dot on the ceiling, perhaps. But I think this is her way of saying, I'm planning my escape. I drew a map on your ceiling, because she's just staring up like she's daydreaming, right?
Yeah. It's interesting that you use the word escape. I don't know if I would have said, oh, she's planning her escape.
Mental escape, that is.
I know. But I hear that differently.
Okay, how do you hear that?
Like planning how she's going to get out of this miserable relationship. And
okay.
When you say that, so and I know
that
I'm like.
This is where the tea comes in. Well, this is the fathoming. Rachel's fathoming.
No, so I haven't even yet brought it up, but like if this is not about her current relationship, like it is she in love with someone else, but can only like is trying to dream about like how can we be together? Like And part of that comes from there's some desperation that happens throughout the song a little bit. And that's like such a Taylor Swift thing to do, to like I'm so in love, I might stop breathing. That's a bit dramatic.
Very dramatic. And
also so foreshadowing, because we get lines like, I can't find a pulse. We get death's rattle breathing silenced as the souls were leaving, you know, just like.
Whoa. Words, like, for the record, that those lyrics are not in this song. I don't think you made that.
No, I'm saying it's foreshadowing
future
to a
songs.
Future songs and future.
Yes. Rachel, like, can we just live in a love song for once, please?
Yes, but Sam, you can't help. Like, you can't separate. She's writing these at the same time. So I
yes,
cannot.
I get that.
I cannot separate the two.
She's like, saying you and we. She's saying I drew a map on your bedroom ceiling.
Yeah. I still think she's talking about Joe, but you said the phrase.
And then we were somewhere else, like we were in Paris.
Yeah.
And right? And so she's already singing to you, and then she sings to we, which implies that it's her and the you she's already been singing about. Which is Joe.
How do you know? How do you know that the entire time she's not singing about the person that she wants to escape with? That well, maybe she has escaped with.
It's not that I'm only refusing to, because I just for once just I'm just tired and sad.
Can
we just live in the love of it all, Rachel? That's the whole point of Paris. Please.
Fine. I'm fine.
I love your theory.
You little wild boy, wild joy. You just want to stay there.
Can I just be the Travis Kelce in this scenario?
Yes, you are so Travis. I'm gonna make you Travis, and I'm gonna be like Aristotle, who just wants to be.
Yes. Yes. Sad. Yes. I'm the wild boy with my wild joy. Please let me have this for once, because I feel like
pop song on this album. Please give me the joy.
Please give it to me. No, I hear you. I hear you, and I respect you. And I'm sure you're not the only one that now is like actually truly pondering and wondering. And I don't want to shut you down. I'm glad you brought this to the table, Rachel. But
moving forward, can we
be in Paris?
I mean, I'll try. I will try. There are moments.
If you've got more things to prove, don't let me hold you back. Okay.
What I do want to say though is, first of all, I forgot to drink it because we were somewhere else. Okay, drink.
Oh yeah, cheers. I don't get a cheers moment for my French Eddie 9 cocktail. This is actually the one of one of the very few cocktail titles I've given that have nothing to do with the lyric in the song.
Yeah, that's okay.
It was a risk.
Yeah, It's fine. I like it. I like what you did with it. It's interesting that you sang Stumble Down Pretend Alleys.
Oh, yeah. Alley. We have to talk about this. Yes.
I don't know what to say about it because I don't know the answer. But all I know is like
I know the answer.
Certain places. Oh, okay. In certain places, it's listed as Stumble Down Pretend Alleyways. The next line is cheap wine, make believe it's champagne. Other places, like the official lyric video says Stumble Down Pretend Alley, waste cheap wine, make believe it's champagne. I can't say
correction.
That one
I think it's
easily.
Stumble Down Pretend Alleys. I think it's a pretend. Or I mean, I think it's a plural alley. Like it's pretend alleys. I think is in the lyric video.
Okay, fine.
I've always heard it as stumble down pretend alleys, comma waste.
Oh,
cheap
you
wine.
Hear it like that. You've
I've always heard it
heard
like
it that.
That
way.
And then I've recently learned that many people did not hear it that way. They've heard it as
I never did.
How you first pronounce it? Stumble down pretend alleyways. Comma, cheap wine.
We were somewhere else, stumble down, pretend alleyways, cheap wine, make believe it's champagne. I was taken by the view, like we were in Paris.
I think I think this is one of the most intriguing lyrics of all of her discography because it has people confused. There is not a clear definition of what she means, and I don't think there's not a huge difference in the two analysis of
it.
Are you
still talking about alleyways?
I'm still lingering on the alleyways.
Okay. Let's move on.
Okay, let's move on. Okay, all right, fine. I'm just going to cheers to that because although my cocktail doesn't have anything to do with the lyric, I did use cheap wine. So cheers to that. Then she goes into, like, we were in Paris. Like we were in Paris.
Like
we were somewhere else. Like yes. We were in Paris, because this whole thing is imaginative in her mind. It was almost as if we were in Paris. It was like we were in Paris. And that's where she is going in her mind. That's this idea of escapism.
Yeah. All right. Another verse. This one, it's interesting. Like the verses here, it's like a different cadence. It's still a verse, but
different cadence, different melody.
Yeah. Privacy on the door, on my page, and on the whole world. Romance is not dead if you keep it just yours. Levitate above all the messes made. Sit quiet by my side in the shade. And not the kind that's thrown. I mean the kind under where a tree has grown.
Rachel, I am going to drop my mic right now.
Seriously. Are you giving that a clap?
I mean... Are you not?
Levitate above all the messes made. Sit quiet by my side in the shade. And not the kind that's thrown. I mean the kind under where a tree has grown.
I mean, it's so goofy. I'm gonna give it to her.
This line has got the Swifties up in fists.
It does.
Because... It does. I am in of the camp that this is one of the most clever lines she's ever written. There is a very opposite side of the spectrum on the internet that thinks this is the cringiest line she's ever written.
I don't think it's cringe. I think she did it intentionally.
Yeah, of course she did.
I do like it. I think it's funny. I think the verses are cringy because it's supposed to make you uncomfortable until you escape into Paris. That's like to the place where she would like to go to.
I don't think she wrote this thinking that it was cringy and that was the intent. I think she legitimately found comfort and humor in writing the line, sit quiet by my side in the shade, and not the kind that's
not
thrown.
The kind that's thrown.
The kind under where a tree has grown. I think
it
that's
sounds a little
brilliant.
Bit like you took the ring off my finger and put it on the one people put wedding rings on. Like it sounds just like that. It's like weird, and you're like, wait, what?
That's a whole other conversation to have, but
it's fine.
It's definitely weird, but it's fun. It's
fun.
It's a classic Taylor move where she takes the concept of something and gives it a different meaning. like the idea of shade in this sense is she's talking about the literal shade that is cast by a tree from the sun.
Yeah, but you know what I think it's about?
What's that?
Tree pain. So
when are we gonna get a tree pain album?
This is the tree pain song.
This is the song.
I think there's one on.
This is the alchemy of tree pain.
This is like, you know how like certain like picture books will hide things in each page of like.
I don't know that. I'm not a parent.
Trademark.
Who reads?
Like, come on! Like the Arthur has like a mouse that's on every page.
Oh,
or I didn't know that. Like that.
Oh, you know,
Or like his initials.
Little Critter has.
Yeah, Little Critter. That's what I was thinking of. Anyway.
I just think it's so witty. I think it's so unique and only something that Taylor Swift could not only write, but make work into a song. And the way that she has, like you said, the cadence of which she says that. Sit quiet by my side in the shade and not the kind that's... I mean, there's just such a beat to it that is so driving and so catchy. And by the time she finally finishes singing all of these words, and that's another thing about the song, is there are so many words put back to back to back to back together. It's like a very fast pace. By the time she finishes singing that, you're like, wait, what? And she's back into this pre-chorus. Like, she's like just had to put that out there, and now she's like back into her imagination of dreaming about being in Paris. I just think it's so creative.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Really,
and it's one of my favorite things she's ever done. And there are a lot of people that hate that lyric and think that she is so cheesy with that lyric. And I don't understand. If you've got a good argument for why she should not have included this in the song, please let me hear it, because I cannot fathom why. I'm passionate. I will die on this hill, Rachel.
You clearly are. Okay, just like I'm passionate about the line, romance is not dead if you keep it just yours. Is her keeping a secret about maybe a relationship that she shouldn't be happening or thinking about? So, but I'm not allowed to talk about that because...
I shut you down.
Someone shut me down.
But it's clearly also about Joe. It's clearly about
Sammy, she loves him. I'm gonna use that line.
I don't think you've ever called me Sammy once in your life. I've had a lot of friends that call me Sammy, but I don't think my sisters have ever called me Sammy until just now. That feels strange.
All right. So I mean, there's not much to say about the next chorus other than I love that she shouts.
Oh, she shouts
right before it. I'm so in love. It's really cute. And it's
so good.
That just feels like the representation of this whole song, just to make you happy. That this is just like I'm in love. Like I want everyone to know.
I mean, yeah, that's the point of the song.
Maybe. Okay.
No, I love it too.
But then we're going to get a bridge.
Bridge time, Rachel. I'm going to lean into your theory a little bit in this bridge, because I feel like when she's, so let me just read it. I want to brainwash you into loving me forever. I want to transport you to somewhere the culture's clever. Confess my truth in swooping, sloping, cursive letters. That's beautiful. Let the only flashing lights be the tower at midnight in my mind. Okay, that's the whole bridge. I just had to read it. But I want to focus on the first line. I want to brainwash you into loving me forever. I feel like Joe, like she just wanted more from him. And so this was her saying, can I just, can you just love me forever? I wish there was a way that I could make you love me forever. That's the part of the song that I feel like is giving more anxiety.
This is her anxiety. I mean, things could change, but I cannot see her writing a single song about Travis saying, I want to brainwash you into loving me forever. Like, I don't.
Because you think he already does love her forever?
I don't think there's anxiety about that kind of a thing.
I mean, we just don't know, do we? We just don't know, do we?
We didn't know about Joe. We sure thought he was boring and around forever, but we were wrong.
I know. No, I get your point, though. I get your point. Yeah.
I mean, it shouldn't surprise us. This sounds like a lot of things that she said in a lot of her songs about, like, you know, I want to convince you, I'm afraid this could change and whatever. Like, at least it's like checks out what we knew that she was worried about. So it's a little creepy, but, and you don't want that for a love song. And I think she put that in there on purpose because it's,
because it's real.
I think exactly. Like, I think that song would have been too cheesy if it was just like all sappy lovey all the time. Like, it's a little bit like,
right,
there's
because
the
at
edge.
This stage in her career, she wasn't just writing sappy, cheesy love story-esque songs. There's
totally.
There's always a twist in these songs, especially with what she was going yes. through emotionally
yep.
during that time.
Yep.
I'll give that to you. Yep. Absolutely. I will
yep.
give that to you.
Yep.
Confess my truth in swooping, sloping, cursive letters. You know what this reminds me of? Is the stylized version. Yeah, I'm literally like, I look like I'm conducting an orchestra.
No,
as I'm twisting my arm and my finger.
I'm writing the word.
I'm lover. Yes, that's exactly yeah, that's, what it is
yes.
giving. Is the stylized yes. version of Lover, which is the name of her album and the name of that song and the album. It's very swooping and sloping and cursive letters. She wants to confess her truth in swooping, sloping, cursive letters through Lover, through the concept of Lover. Right?
Which I think is what why she was writing the song. She was like, I don't want to write these depressing songs anymore. I want to be back in the Lover era where I am confessing my truth in swooping, sloping, cursive
right.
letters.
Right.
I think that's what she's like telling us. You know, and I love that she like, she ends it with like, there's a midnight in here. Like,
oh, I love that.
Lights,
no, it's one of the, it's one
midnight.
Of the few moments we get where she actually talks about the time of day that is midnight, that is encompassing the entire theme of this album.
Let the only flashing lights be the tower at midnight in my mind. We drew a map on your bedroom ceiling. No, I didn't see the night.
She ends it with in my mind.
In my mind. And this is the point where it gets kind of melancholy for me. As soon as she says in my mind, the music starts to slow down. And this is where it almost sounds like she's kind of sad. Like she's like thinking about that this isn't actually the truth.
Because we were in Paris. Yes, we were somewhere.
What's interesting is there's no like here. Is that intentional? Why
oh,
is there no like?
Oh, you're right. Because up until this point, it was like we were in Paris, which is what we, what do
yeah.
we say? That's a simile? Is like we were in Paris is a simile, correct?
Yeah. I feel like in her mind, we were in Paris.
Oh, because we were in
we
Paris.
We were somewhere else.
We were. Oh my gosh.
And that's.
And now it's in the past. Like
yeah,
that was happening for her. And
that's
now,
what I felt like. Mm, now I'm remembering
whoa.
We were in Paris.
I just got yeah. goosebumps, Rachel. I did not even realize that. And so now actually this,
yeah.
the whole song up to this point in my eyes, in my mind has been this happy, fun escapism love song. And then the end is like, oh, we were there. We were in
yeah.
Paris.
I had to ruin it for you right at the end.
You're not
like,
ruining
really...
it for me. You're enlightening me right now. And I'm so, the song
doesn't
ruin
midnight?
It because it's still a fun song to listen to. I will always love to listen to this song.
Okay.
But you're just enlightening
okay.
me in a way that I hadn't thought of before, that she's now putting it into past tense.
Yeah.
Because that's just not where she wants to go anymore.
Or she knows she can't.
She can't.
She wants
there.
To, but she knows she can't. Like, we are not in, we are not in Paris anymore. Like, we are not in love.
Wow. And then the song just kind of like slowly fades out. And I just
yeah,
really connect with that in a way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, Rachel.
Wow.
Fun. You know, yeah. you chose the song. I was hesitant at first because I feel like we've been midnights heavy lately. And I know we've got a lot of other songs to focus on. And I was like, no, let's not go back to midnight. But this song is so good. I'm so glad we did it. And of course, it makes sense to do the week that she performs
yes.
in Paris.
I mean, the girl better play this as a surprise song, right?
Oh, for sure.
But
for Sam, sure. Maybe she's incorporated it into the actual set. I mean, she's already changing
things. I wondered about that.
I wonder.
Sam, if she does do Paris as a surprise song and she chooses to mash it up.
Yes, we got to do this.
What do you think she's going to mash it up with?
I think it's got to be one of those another escapism songs. I'm thinking she will do I Hate It Here.
Okay. Oh, man.
Right? Like, man. That would really fuck up a crowd, I think.
I was keeping it upbeat and going like Wonderland or I Know
Love
Places.
Love that. Okay. I Know Places.
I think actually would be more like I Know Places into Paris, right? Like I Know Places and then she goes like down alleyways into Paris.
And then they go to Paris in her mind. Oh.
That could be cool.
I love that. Yeah, I went a darker route than you did.
plot twist.
Rachel, in my mind, we are in Paris discussing Taylor Swift being in love. In your mind, maybe you're discussing Taylor Swift being in an emotional affair, and I don't know where the hell she is in your mind. But so in my mind, I'm drawing a map on my bedroom ceiling. I'm literally looking up at it right now, and I'm like, where do we go next? Because we've tickled the surface of tortured poets. We know what Taylor Swift is currently going through. And we've talked about a little bit of the heavy, a little bit of the love. I want us to rewind a little bit and go back to when Taylor truly felt enamored by a certain somebody.
Oh, yes. Let's do that.
So we're going to go in.
Which one?
We're going to go to the early part of her Reputation era. Let's go back to Rep, baby.
You can't lose a rep. What are we doing?
We're gonna do the song Gorgeous. Ding.
Gorgeous. Okay. Yay.
It's this totally random shift from everything we've been talking about, but won't that be fun? Don't you think that'll be fun, Rach?
I like it.
Okay. And like, honestly, maybe I'm going to include this. Maybe I'm going to cut this. Honestly, Rachel, we've actually already discussed that song and we've already recorded
it. Should we take a bow? Because that was like really good acting on our part.
Our acting. Somebody give us an Oscar because Rachel already knew that that was the song I was going to choose. We've already actually recorded that song. In fact, we recorded that song weeks ago, well before we even
Way too long ago. Oh my gosh. Those babies do not know what's coming.
They have no idea. Those poor, sweet children. So as you're listening to next week's episode, it's an awesome episode. It was done many, many weeks ago.
Yep.
But yeah, so that'll be fun. Rachel, until then, I've given the plugs. I've given the shout outs. One thing I haven't done is thank you, Rachel, for always joining me on this fun, super awesome, exciting podcast that was technically your idea that I was on board with from the moment you said so. With the concept of Paris and my cocktail in my mind. So, can't believe we've done it. I am so excited to have...
I'm so in love with this podcast.
I'm so in love that I can't stop breathing.
Yeah. But we do need to start breathing and get off the podcast and close it out, unfortunately.
Okay. I suppose you're right. Well, until next week, Rachel. Bonsoir.
Salut!
Salut et bonsoir. And I'm not going to say the other phrase that I know in French because it is from the Moulin Rouge soundtrack, and that is not appropriate. Let's not do that one. But fun episode. Clink, clink. This is Love ya, clink clink.
Love ya.